Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон. Trap сонсон, trap донтсон. Түүний сонсон хөгжим дур булаан. Дадаш дуудан дур була мууруулаа.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We got a great show. We got Vince Pichel is back.
Woo!
Greg Romero Wilson.
Hey!
Tyler the Marine Smith.
Yo!
Tyler the Liberal Jewish Marine.
That's quite the title.
What do you guys say?
Yeah, I guess I'm pretty liberal.
Oy vey.
Hoorah.
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 What's up, people? Do you like the podcast? Okay. Want to support? Check it out. Go to rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. And endorse me. Yes, it's $10 a month, right? And you get all the videos. I'm going to upload a video every single day. Every day, I'm going to upload a video, a comedy video, a heckler video, an MMA video, all kinds of videos, okay? I'll do live chats. I'll put the video on, all right? And podcast videos, obviously, okay? I'm going to put them up there, and it's awesome, okay? So if you want to support me, all right, go to rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. And there's a lot of great fighters are doing on there. Nick Diaz has a channel on that. You get Nick Diaz's videos if you go to mine. You get Ben Askren's videos. Okay, there's Jordan Oliver, the great wrestler. He has videos up there. If you're into comedy, Graham Elwood. Okay, he's a really funny dude. If you're into politics, Mike Cernovich. Okay, if you're into right-wing politics, whatever you need, check it out. Go to ROKFIN. It's a company that really rewards people that actually make stuff. All right, content providers. Okay, like you know, a lot of these companies they give you pennies. Okay, but not Rockfin. They actually it's a really cool deal, and I'm happy to be with them. All right, so if you support the podcast and you say, Adam Hunter, I support you, and you want to see videos, because I will upload a video every single day, whether it's stand-up comedy, whether it's MMA Roasted, whether it's interviews, every day, I'm putting up a video. Go to rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. Click endorse, $10. You can cancel anytime. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, marijuana is legal in California, and you should not have to leave your house to get it. They will deliver it right to you. Go to speedweed.com. They have THC sex lube. They have THC edibles. They have CBD. Anything you need, they will give it right to you. Okay, go to speedweed.com. Mention Roasted. You get $10 off. Orders $100 or more. And they're great people. The guy Gino, he takes care of comics, takes care of fighters. Just a great guy. I mean, they have all kinds of marijuana, coffee. What did I give you the other day?
The CBD bath bomb.
CBD, and how was
dope.
That?
Yes. It was awesome. Yeah. Smelled great.
Yes.
Speaking those dip patches are bomb, too? Those dips they had
were little really
bomb?
Dips?
Yeah.
Yeah, canna dips.
Joints are nice. Joints, they work.
Marijuana's pretty good.
Marijuana really worked for me. I got to tell you.
Speaking of which, a lot of people are hesitant to try hemp-derived CBD oil because they don't know where to start, okay? They don't know where to start, so that's not good, all right? And there are so many different products and brands, it's hard to know which products are right for you, how much to take, when to take it, how to know if you're getting too much. And there's a family-owned business I got to tell you about that not only provides the highest quality U.S.-grown hemp-derived CBD products, but they also give personal guidance, okay? They'll actually reach out to you and tell you what you should be taking, all right? Their hemp
that's
is grown
really cool.
In the U.S. Cool. without the use of pesticides, and it's mixed with organic MCT coconut oil. Each batch is a third-party lab tested for potency and purity, and the results are posted on their website. They have a variety of products, including full-spectrum or whole-plant hemp oil extract, hemp-derived isolate tinctures, hemp and emu oil pain balm,
ooh,
and full spectrum CBD dog shoes. And I know I'm getting my dog some of that because if my dog,
yeah, chill him the fuck out. No
hell
shit.
Hell yeah.
He and not in a bad, but he needs it. He deserves it.
Well, he deserves it.
Right. All those products are available on Nature's Oils Online.com, and they include free shipping in the U.S. Okay, you can call them directly to ask questions or place an order at 469-525-3131. That's 469-525-3131. A special offer for listeners of the show, Nature's Oils is offering a 10% discount off to their already reasonable prices. When calling or checking out online, use the discount code ADAM10. And get 10% off, all right? Adam10.
Adam10.
So check it out. Nature's Online.
And
I know the guy, Christian, really, really good guy. Michelle's his wife. She's awesome. So check it out. Meanwhile, so I do a show on Saturday night, The Laugh Factory, and I'm feeling great. I hosted it. First, I did the storytelling show, which is like at the Ice House. I'm not really a storyteller. So
that's true.
I talked about the time that I got sued for $20 million in college. Can I tell you about that?
No.
Yeah. No. $20 million. $20 million.
Yeah, this so is absurd. Outrageous.
That is so absurd.
First of all, what dipshit sues a college student for $20 million?
Yeah, did he ask?
What dipshit thinks that's even a viable number
exactly.
to even sue
exactly.
someone for?
Exactly. It's like, maybe, did you ask for a castle while he was $20. At it? And
it went to the Supreme Court of Brooklyn. All right.
Well, no, so, get yeah. the fuck out.
See what happened.
That was actually the verdict.
So,
get the fuck out.
So I was all right. So. I was wrestling in college. I got, you know, I was wrestling, but I was losing weight 15 pounds a week. I was bored. I was miserable, angry. I had to stay in Thursday nights to cut weight, and I was pissed because I was finally getting laid in college.
Yes.
But on TV, they had Binghamton Television, BTV. They had these public access shows. They would try to have real discussions about race relations or something, and I would call in from my dorm room. You can call directly in and be like, hey, you know, I think Devane's got a point. You're like, who? I go, Devane and my dick, and then hang up. My friends would laugh on the other, right?
Yeah, so then most have it in their asses.
So then I got burned down. I got burned out of wrestling, and I'm like, you know what? I'm like a loser now. That's all I had going for me. I'm like, I need my own show. I want my own show. So I went down to the studio, pretended to learn the equipment, and they gave me a four-hour show.
Damn.
On a Tuesday night.
Public access, baby, back in the day.
But it was only on campus, public access. It wasn't in the town. And it was called These Nuts, right?
Oh, my God.
And this is in 1997, right? So
awesome.
So I go down there.
At the forefront of the D's Nuts craze. Yeah.
4 hours. D's Nuts movement. That's a long time, too. Yes.
So I go down there, and I think that all these girls, because I was on a show earlier for like 5 minutes, and girls were like, oh, you're pretty cute. So I'm like, oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to get pussy, blah, blah. Right off the bat, people were like, are you Vanilla Ice or Corey Haim? Just murdering me. Like, what's wrong with your ear? Because my ear had big cauliflower. Yeah. And my head was shaved because freshmen had to get their head shaved for wrestling. So it was just bad. I wore like
it's
a
all misshaped still.
I wore like awesome. a beret. So nice.
The wrestling
head. Oh, sure, the beret.
So then I was like, I was getting murdered, but it was kind of fun. And I had like a bunch of the guys in the wrestling team on and like some Budweiser chick that was a model and whatever. So then this girl calls up and she's like, my name is Hannah and everyone's going to talk shit about me. I know they will, right? I don't know who this girl is, but I'm happy they're not making fun of me. Yeah. People have been calling in. They're like, Hannah's a fucking whore. She stole my jeans.
She stole
like
my
famous
jeans.
In her dorm, right? Mm-hmm. So then she calls back. And she's like, that guy Seth is a fat fuck. And I guess they're going back and forth. I guess, and Seth was like the captain of the soccer team.
So you're the fucking Jerry Springer of the campus.
So she goes down to the studio to defend herself live on the air.
Oh my God.
Jumps in front of the camera and goes, Seth, she got his fat ass to the gym. Fuck him. Sits down. Now the whole school is watching, right? Everyone on campus.
Oh, there's like video too?
Everyone's watching. Freshman, yeah, it's all video.
How did they find
out? Oh, shit.
It's like before cell phones, right?
Everyone, it's all in the dorms. Everyone's like, yo, put on BTV. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So people are calling in.
And oh, damn it.
People were like, Hannah, can I park my car up your snatch? You know, just saying the most. One girl's like, you stole my jeans, you fucking whore. You know, take your. And she had a big Jewish star. She was from Queens. They're like, take that Jewish star and stick it up your ass. I mean, just crazy.
Jeez,
I was laughing at like the earlier stuff. I was laughing. It was funny, right?
Yeah, it's funny.
So
but
then
still.
She goes back. I wasn't laughing at that part, but I was laughing at other parts. So then she goes back to her dorm and people are chanting her name and they're throwing water balloons at her. Like, so then the kids.
That hot mentality takes over fast, baby.
Dude, for reals, man.
And then the kid Seth that she hooked up with, the big fat guy that wouldn't hook up with her because he was like, he comes on. The station to talk shit about her, and he's like, Hannah, you wouldn't let me touch your tits. He's drunk. He's like, you have big pepperoni nipples, right? It's so like,
let me touch your tits.
Yeah. So now she drops out of school, right? After, because now she's being harassed.
Yeah.
And then there were no more shows on Binghamton Television for like 8 months. They had to have a disclaimer. At the end. So then she sues the school for $20 million. sues me for $20 million for negligence, and sues the kid Seth for $20 million. She has a $60 million lawsuit going on, right?
She ran on your show. Like, what? How is that your fault?
So then, and like my dad was like, "You go to school for 2 months, you come home with a $60 million fucking lawsuit. Can't just go to class like everyone else." Like, so then,
you're like, "No, Dad, I'm a star."
So then, right now, I'm the most infamous kid at school. People are pointing at me at parties, like, "That's the kid from D's Nuts." Well, it was. I challenged a lot of people to fight. So I'm like, "Come down here, I'll fuck you up." You know, like, I was a little nervous.
D's Nuts, bitch.
It wasn't my finest hour. It was my first show, you know. But I did. I held my own.
That's pretty fucking awesome. Still, though.
So then I was like,
I had a meltdown, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Like 18. Yeah. So then I'm like, I need friends fast. So I joined a fraternity, right? And they're like,
awesome.
SAE. They called it Sigma Alpha Hair Salon.
The life choices we make.
I hated everyone. I didn't like anybody really. I had a couple friends, but I'm like, they were like hazing me, and you have to respect your brothers. And I'm like, this is so stupid. Who are you? But and I needed people to vouch that I was a good guy. Otherwise, I'd be D's Nuts for 4 years, right? So then there was a girl that I was trying to pick up at like the breakfast. This girl, Tatiana, hot Puerto Rican chick. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm giving dance class. We're having dance auditions today for the black dance repertoire. I'm like, you have to be black? She's like, no. So I try out for the team.
Oh my God.
I made the team. You did, because he used to be a very good dancer. He's a good dancer.
But I was the only one.
He's a surprisingly good dancer.
I was the worst on the team, okay? But I was better than everybody else. Like,
but still the best white guy on the team.
Yeah. I was the only white guy. It was like affirmative action.
That's all you need to be, dude.
But I got out of pledging.
The only one.
But I got out of pledging because of the black dance team. Because I got to go to practice all the time. So I won most dedicated member of the black dance team in 1997.
Fucking God.
Do you have that plaque still? Did they give you like a...
I would have held on to that bitch for life, dude. I would have had that shit buried with
me. Shot of you like up on an elbow.
Yeah, like who would have thought 2019, that's still your greatest accomplishment.
Wow, yeah, no. These Nuts is what got me into show business. Like, dude, you could have fun and have a career at this. Like, it wasn't a career, but I'm like, this is the greatest time I ever laughed so hard in my life.
That's fucking awesome.
But anyway, so Saturday night, I do the Laugh Factory, and then I have an audition for America's Most Wanted, right? To be like
Most Wanted?
To be a detective.
When they do the reenactments and shit.
Yeah.
So God. Dude. If I seen you in that shit, I don't know how I'd react.
I can see you being a racist cop on America's Most Wanted.
Based on this audition, you're not going to see me on this anytime soon. Because I look at it at like 3 in the morning.
Did you bring your own trench coat?
Well, it's like all these. First of all, they have me for like a 50-year-old detective, right? I walk in there, the lady's like, "What role are you here for?" And she's like, "Really? This black woman, nice black woman."
Yeah.
So I get there, and she immediately starts doing the wrong scene. She's like, "So where's your wife? That's not even in the at Coachella, you know?" And she's like, "Oh, sorry, wrong scene, you know." And then she's like, "You're not gonna." She's like, "I'm gonna use my line, my sides, because I hadn't really memorized." She's like, "Oh, just improv." So I like.
Did your wife go to Coachella?
Yeah.
I want to hear that story.
No, for work, right? So then I do the scene.
Work.
And like the last scene is like, yeah, you know. And then I go out to the bathtub, and there's blood here and blood there, and it was a complete mess. So we knew it was a. But I like screwed up. I was improvising, and I did that part first, and I was like, yeah, some bad stuff went down. Detective would ever be like,
stuff went down.
Something really bad happened here, for sure.
Whatever it was, it wasn't good.
The lady started laughing. I was like, "You want me to do it again?" She goes, "No."
No, I'm good. I think that told me everything.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude, those rooms are scary too.
Audition rooms?
Those rooms are scary, yeah, man.
They are.
Like, depending on the room. But it's like
I've only been in
total
one.
Power over you. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Depending on how prepared you are, too. When you're not prepared, you're like.
There's two different kinds of reads that can really fuck you up. The one where they read really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're just trying to get through their lines, like, okay, that's really affecting my timing and how I prepared this scene, you know? And then the other ones who do it just emotionless.
Yeah.
Like they're just reading words, like they're reading a book.
Right.
And that's why I said, you can't go there, you know? Stop, or you will have to turn around again. You're like, okay, I can't, okay. Your bad acting's affecting my bad acting. You have to.
You're rubbing off on me.
Well, like, it's like they've decided. If I feel like if it's one of those, they've decided like before you even start the read. You know,
no, that's
like,
not always the case. Like I think sometimes they want to see if you could, you know, kind of work
get
with anything.
It.
You know, how whoever's reading with you.
Hey, acting is reacting.
And
okay.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much. Acting is reacting. But you know what? I went to one audition recently where the casting director was so good. She was so good in the scene. I was like, I was intimidated to be acting. I was like, how are you not the star of the show? Are you the lead? Is this a joke? Are you auditioning people yourself for your own show? Because she was phenomenal and hot.
Damn. Nice.
Yeah. It was, I swear to God, I was immediately intimidated.
Damn. So what's going on with you guys? Vince, what's going on with you? You quit your job.
Yes, I quit. Oh, fuck, man.
Have you been training more? Because y'all trimmed down now.
I have been, yes. Yeah, I'm super skinny right now.
Yeah.
I quit my job. I quit school. I'm full-time fighter again.
Nice. Yeah, that's it.
I am fucking super stressed, but
I'm from hell, baby.
I'm just a little uncomfortable because I don't have that
steady income.
Yeah, I don't have that backup contingency, you know what I mean? Like, if I, worst comes to worst, I go, like, oh, I'll just go to work. You know, I don't have that now. But it's good for me because I strive the most when I'm the most uncomfortable. So, like.
Well, if you ever need a job as a nanny or a manny, I have a job right for you. You could always crash here, man. I can use your
dude,
help.
That
dog right there, dude, I'm pretty close to throwing that dog out the window.
Whose
on the freeway.
What dog is that, by the way?
That's my aunt's dog.
Yeah.
I'm watching it. She's actually a pretty awesome dog. But dogs are super needy and I don't like it. That's why I have cats.
Now, what about that beautiful African-American woman that was sleeping with you at your house?
Dore?
Yeah.
We're still hanging out. I like her. She's cool. Seen each other for a little bit. It's pretty cool.
Is she rich?
No.
You got to get one of those.
A rich one?
Yeah.
I know. That's like the ultimate, right?
You
sugar
really
daddy,
do. I mean, you listen.
Mama, dude.
Why do you do all this fighter training if you're not going to get yourself a sugar mama?
Because he likes girls with tattoos and glasses.
I know.
And
I like him super trashy.
You have those on the side.
No.
Yeah,
yes.
But right. then the money ones get jealous, you know? Like.
Yeah, you just got to keep that shit separate. I believe in you. You can get
codes,
one.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I'm doing that. I'm actually looking to, you know what I was going to do is, and I already started doing this, is
stripping.
I'm going to.
Strippograms.
I still do that on the side. But I'm going to start doing like some technique videos.
I'm
going to start doing some kickboxing technique videos, kind of share some wisdom. I'm going to do some collaborations with some guys, too. Like, I'm going to talk to some of the guys. I started training at Muscle Farm again with Jason Manley, so I'm going to talk to him about it. I'm going to do some with my coach, Brian, because he already does it. I was going to talk to you about it. So I kind of want to do stuff like that, maybe start a channel and do some cool stuff like that.
Now, how's the word with Muscle Farm? Is TJ, how's the word over there? That's like his gym, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't honestly, I can care less about people's dirty laundry.
Not anymore.
Yeah. What?
He's at training lab.
Oh, he's a training lab?
Yeah.
Wasn't he at Muscle Farm at one point? Or?
Yeah,
he was
like a big Muscle Farm guy.
The whole Elevate team went to Muscle Farm, didn't they? Cause like,
well, he was Muscle Farm. I'm not sure about it.
I know Matt Brown was, or is.
Matt Brown was, yeah. Matt Brown is still. But yeah. Matt Brown was out here, but then he just moved back.
Yeah, he just moved back.
Yeah,
but
he was going to move
TJ's
out here,
at,
but it didn't work
at
out.
Training lab. He's at, with the...
And what's going on with you? Are you fighting again or what?
No.
Yeah, what's going on, huh?
No.
Probably
no,
not. I mean, as long I'm
first thing
I
he says
sad.
To me is, first thing he says to me, look, I still got black eyes.
Wow. He does.
Fucking
like
guy,
that.
He does. He
I
does.
Know, yeah.
By the way,
yeah,
your mom
bit.
DM'd me, by the way, on Instagram.
Oh, did
whoa,
you?
Did she now? Yeah. Let's hear the juicy beats.
I think I was like at something with
Air
my baby,
Tyler.
A baby video, and she's like, "This makes me so happy." And I was like, "Who's this?" And I'm like, "Your mom's kind of hot. She's kind of young looking." Your mom,
dude,
by the way,
I've
how young
here,
looking?
I've been hearing that since I was like 15.
Okay. Oh man, that's gotta be tough
like
to have a hot mom, man. All your friends want to come over
dude,
for no
dude,
reason.
It wasn't just... from everybody, but like,
honestly, I used to hear that shit too. I hated
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one of my really good friends who I grew up with would just, he would just. Do it just to get
right.
To
yeah, yeah, just to get a ride.
Do you have sisters? Do you have sisters?
No,
I have sisters. So like, fucking, I hear
see,
sister shit too. So
see,
like,
I feel like that would be worse.
Yeah, motherfuckers,
like,
dude. Like,
no yeah. wonder you're a fighter.
Yeah,
like, away from my sister.
His mom's like a dancer, though.
But like,
what?
Yeah, my mom.
And where? Like Screaming Rhino? Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, let's get some singles.
She,
get down
yeah,
there.
she was a professional ballerina. From like 18 to 20,
she on Instagram. 22,
23, and then was on like broad. Yeah, Andy 4x4, 4x4.
Great, now you're gonna get everybody.
Oh my God, what's the 4x4 for?
That's been her email since like junior high. I was in like junior high.
Because she likes wood?
That's just what it was. No, we had...
She likes some 4x4.
She likes wood.
We had four-wheel drive trucks when I was growing up.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Nice.
I think she likes four dudes at a time. I'm kidding, dude. I'm sorry.
All right.
Sorry, Mom.
No, that's cool.
I love you.
Mom, no, oh my gosh,
I know you're gonna listen to this.
I'm so sorry,
your mom. I was
and
like,
I'm so
mom.
Sorry.
She's so sweet. She seems very like artist, like very like an artist.
She is. Well, now she's a marriage and family therapist.
Oh, okay.
So and wow. So is my stepdad. Yeah, they're both like
seems very bohemian,
private
though.
Practice. But yeah, she like she's just got back into dancing ballet. Hmm. I think that's where I get like a lot of my movement from is from her. And my dad was a dancer too, so it didn't come out of my fight. But Vince has watched me
he's
practice.
Pretty, he's pretty
like
bendy.
I,
he's pretty
yeah.
bendy.
Yeah. Oh, is that?
I'm very bendy.
I can't,
but yeah, she's doing it.
Video, Chris
and, Greg, and it doesn't surprise me that she DM'd you.
No, it's very
all.
Sweet.
Like,
it
she loves getting into
was,
people's
it
lives.
It was so nice. It was like it was something that a mom. Did.
She's
like,
the infiltrator.
It's a mom thing. It's
it
a mom
was like
thing.
Your mom said that like, these videos. That
she's
so
a Jewish
happy
lady
or something. Like the singing with the.
Kids. I love them too, though. I watch them with you and the baby, and I'm like, she's so cute. It's nice.
She was sent to the doctor today, 9:30
It's
the
damn.
Oh,
virus, stomach virus. Wait, so how are you, Greg? What's going on?
I'm good, man. I was in Cincinnati.
Greg's looking
doing
up
I'm trying
Instagram.
To look up his mom, but it's Andy with an I, of course, and a little heart. I got to figure it all out.
And 4x4.
4x4. I got the 4x4 part. That I got right. So anyways, I was in Cincinnati. I was opening for Craig Robinson again this weekend, which
nice.
Is, it's always fun to hang
Did
out with him.
Mostly white, black crowd?
I would say 50-50.
Because he has the office
people. He has the office people and then, yes, the black crowd. And so I would say it's about 50-50.
That's cool.
Which is unique. You don't see crowds like that often. And in fact, the front table, front center table, one of the shows, there was this white young couple, super white, and then these older black ladies.
Transparent
on
white.
On the other side, I was like, did they just sit you guys together, or did you guys somehow come as a group? And they're like, no, they sat us together. I was like, oh, that makes sense, because to be honest, you look like you came from different rallies. And and everyone, like, it was one of those, and then I was like, oh, shut the fuck up. We got to be able to laugh about this shit. That's what we're here to do. And then everybody, okay. So that was a lot of fun. You of course are familiar with Todd Rex.
T-Rex.
Yeah, he used to co-host this show sometime back. And anyway, so he was there too. He goes with Craig everywhere.
Yeah, of course.
He's his regular feature. And so the first night, okay, I'm out front smoking a J, and I hear a knocking on a window, and I turn around, and there's T-Rex's ass. Pressed up against the window from his hotel. Yes.
He's like 60 years
full,
old.
I know. And he has, and he doesn't look like he
Did
has that much
goat?
Ass.
Did he
but that,
you?
When it spread onto a glass pane, it was a lot of ass. So then the next day.
What happens with the wrinkles? What happens with the wrinkles when it's pressed up against the grass like that, the glass?
It actually loses a bit of color. It looks whiter than I think it normally is.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It was it was a lot of ground, though. It was
spreads
quite a
the
bit.
Blood apart.
Yeah. There was some. So then. So then the next day, I was doing this gag. I was doing the Mario gag. And Craig grabs it, you know. I go on stage, I'm like, I'm Mario, you know, because I look like Mario
Okay.
But I actually have the costume. Summer and I went as Mario and Luigi this last Halloween. And so I have the Mario costume. And Craig goes, hey, man, did you bring that Mario costume? I was like, no, I didn't bring the Mario costume. He goes, oh, man, that's too bad. But I could have Summer overnight it. So Summer overnighted the costume. So we had the costume.
Nice.
Okay? So I'm doing it. So we did that's this whole dope. Gag where we were making fun of because they're very
famous.
How much
was the overnight that costume?
Like $25.
That's it?
That was it.
Damn.
And so then of course, that was from the post office who did not get it there overnight. And in fact, got it there
three to 5 days.
Totally. It showed up 2 days later. So we at least got to use it on Saturday.
Okay, federal. Government, can I trust you with something?
It was so dumb. I was like, I can't believe you didn't go to UPS. And she was like, surprise. It was just so much cheaper. And it's like a money back guarantee.
Exactly.
So so it's like, here, we're probably just going to give you this money back, but just in case.
What do you do when like comics hit you up and say, can I open for you? And you're like, don't want them to open for you. Or you're like, hey, you like they find out what club you're working.
It's like,
hey,
I
do you mind
no.
If I feature for you here? I'm always like, I always tell them I don't book the feature, even if I do.
Sometimes, yeah, that's exactly. That's the best deflection is to be like, oh, they already booked the feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually what I use.
It's annoying.
Or it's already booked. Well, I'll catch up with you next time. The problem with saying that, though, is then they start checking with you every time they see you have a gig.
Oh.
which sucks. And it's like, dude, I don't want to tell you that you're not ready. Or yeah. that I just... Well, that's the other thing. Right. And that's the problem is every headliner has an arm-long list of good friends who are comics yeah. who they could take on the road with them that are in line before you.
Yeah.
You know? We're going to... Because we got to hang out for 3 days. There's that's nothing even- worse than having to having a feature that you actually don't know and you have this forced relationship with for the week.
Yeah, and if you don't
get
that
seems like a better... But, a better. Oh, yeah,
that no. could make for some good comedy, though, on your fucking show.
Yeah. That just seems like a better... like a better deflection than anything.
Of
like,
what?
Oh, sorry. Like I have, there's a long list of people in front of you, man.
Yeah. yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But
sometimes I do say that, but
if you don't understand that, then,
but they take that personally. Like yeah. then they're
or
just like,
no.
they're like, I'm better than all of them. You know? And it's okay.
Comics are the most sensitive people.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the, okay. So I'm changing out of the Mario suit after doing the gag on stage, which the audience went wild for. And so I'm getting out of the suit and I think I hear T-Rex coming.
Yeah.
So I decide I'm getting him back. So I take off the fucking thing. I chop my pants, and I mean, I spread them. I mean, full brown eyed right towards the door.
And what happened?
And T-Rex walks in, and he's like, ah! And he was like, man, you a gambler. What the fuck if that hadn't been me, motherfucker? You would have brown eyed somebody else like that? I was like, I was willing to take the risk, bro. I had to get you back.
Baller move, dude.
There were kids in my high school that used to be like, hey, I bet you can't do an atomic sit-up. And they're like, I'm like, I can do that. It's what someone lies down, you put a towel over their head, and you go, they go up, and then someone else runs in front of them, drops their pants, and they go right into the guy's asshole.
Yeah.
And of course, one kid ran away right after that happened. And they had to, like, and they had to,
the kid that put his face in the ass.
He was like, I was already considering running away.
He got punch juice really on your nose.
This really just put it over.
So, all right, let's talk about.
I could trust you guys.
Talk about the fights. First of all, Boston Salmon, that sucked. I was rooting for him. You watched the fights?
I watched three of them.
Okay. You watched Boston Salmon?
I watched the fights. I don't know.
He was the first guy that got knocked out.
Very first, yeah.
He just got hit by Khalid Taha. One punch, he was out.
Was it on the fight pass?
Yeah, but you were just excited about his name.
No, I liked him. I'll tell you, Max Griffin did great.
He met him. Remember, he fucked his car.
Oh, that's right.
Max Griffin actually did great. I'm happy for him because that was a close one. That guy.
I want to say I started on a female fight.
What did you think of? What did you think of Islam grabbing the cage on that? That like, I'm happy the guy took a point away. You don't like that? Have you ever grabbed the cage before in a fight?
Yeah, but like sometimes it's not really like on purpose. It's kind of just a reactionary thing, you know. And he might have, he might not have, but who knows? You can't really. I wasn't there, so I don't like, you know. I only saw, so who knows?
Your boy Wilson Hayes. Ugh.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking for me. Fuck.
You think it's because he loses 80 pounds before each fight?
Maybe, dude. He's a fucking giant. Like,
I'm not kidding. He walked from 180 to 180.
He was the guy we were talking about that loses 80 pounds, and we were like, that sounds completely impossible and unhealthy.
60 pounds, whatever.
Yeah.
He is just a monster. For 25, for 35 is huge.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
For 45, that's huge, dude.
Yeah. I don't.
What did you walk around at?
Jesus.
Because you were laughing at him. He said he was 160, and you started laughing at his face.
Oh, there's no fucking way, dude.
He was at 180.
Oh, my God. You're talking when we're at the fights, right?
Yeah.
He was probably like 75, 80. He's probably around there.
And he fights at 25.
And that was like.
And he fights at 25. Like, that
is crazy. He might have been closer to 75. He might have been closer to 70. I mean, he might have been 70, 75, but he is not small at all. He is not light for that weight class. I don't know how he even loses the weight, honestly.
Like 50 pounds over 2 months out, 6 weeks out.
But he diets it. Like
what
I don't,
the
he,
hello?
I
he's probably,
dude, honestly,
he's probably draining
food.
Blood out of himself. Like, it's all water weight.
I don't know, but if you ever like grapple or like,
yeah, you don't feel
have any
it.
Chance to hug that dude or like get a hold of him, like it's a fucking, it's like grabbing a
nightmare,
turtle shell, dude. It's like grabbing him is like grabbing onto a turtle shell.
Jeez.
And our buddy lost Jalen Turner, the tarantula guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
you there during that interview?
Mm-mm.
He owned like 150 tarantulas. That was his whole thing.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
He like sold them.
Sounds like he's gonna have a selfie.
Really cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Sounds like he's gonna be down to five.
All right, so that was... That.
Sounds like you just sell some.
So that was that. The main card, let's talk about the main card. First of all, Kelvin Gastelum. Oh, man, I was rooting for Kelvin Gastelum in that fight, and he almost pulled
me
it
too.
Off.
Me too. That was
but
such
you know,
an awesome
dude,
fight.
Okay.
He surprised the
first
hell
of all,
me.
You were talking about how he was going to use his wrestling, zero wrestling, and then the one time he tried to go for wrestling was the absolute wrong time to do it. Like, he had the guy hurt... He was reeling, was in the knockout position. He's like, I'm going to take him down. Like, that was the only time he shouldn't have did it. It's the only time he tried. That pissed me off, man.
That was so weird.
I don't know.
What do you think? Is that instinct?
I think it was like, it's like
was
a
just
moment
so tired?
Of self-doubt.
Okay. Honestly, I don't know.
That's what I saw. I saw him
so
sitting
hurt.
There like, and you know, like, this, I can end this right now.
Yeah.
And you just can't pull the trigger and it's like, go to what I'm good at and go to that takedown. That's what I saw. I don't want to speak for Kelvin, but it.
You're thinking that's one of the few options mentally that could have happened?
Yeah, I personally felt like he just had an uncomfortable moment in the fight and lost his train of thought.
A beautiful head kick.
And a punch.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, dude.
Maybe he couldn't believe he had him rocked. Like, how do I have this guy rocked right now? There's no way.
But it was so obvious. The guy was. He had him.
Dude, there's so much shit that goes through your head.
Maybe he thought he was playing possum. Like,
that's true. Maybe he was afraid of getting caught coming in.
You know what I mean? Like,
but then he. I don't know.
Who fucking knows?
In the heat of the moment, there's a lot of shit that runs through your head in like fractions of a second. So
if he wins that last round, he wins that fight. I think I had a 2-2 going into the last.
Yeah, me too.
Did you look at the stats though? Like,
10 versus 6 landed punches.
Kevin Gastelum had 92 total strikes.
Yeah, total.
91 of them were significant.
Jeez.
He had 98 significant strikes and only threw 50 punches. Like some of them made like twice.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the thing is that Kelvin, it's not even his right
so
weight class.
Hard that whole fight.
He's not even, he's a 170 pounder.
Yeah.
He could be a 55 pounder. Yeah. I mean, the fact Probably that, could. I mean, everyone's like saying how they think that what's name is the real deal, but I don't know. I think Chris Weidman, if he doesn't get caught,
Kevin Gastelum is slightly smaller than me. I have an inch of reach and then an inch of height on him.
Do you think Stylebender is the real deal?
Way.
Huh?
You think Stylebender is the real deal? Were you impressed by him or were you kind of like, did he show a lot of flaws?
I think it would take someone like Justin Gaethje who will put the pressure on him to take him out. Guys are afraid to put pressure on him because he's pretty accurate.
But he's also down.
Yeah, but
to
not
fight.
Necessarily has to be him, but just someone that could put that pressure in his face because that's how you stop a technical guy like that. A guy who's gonna pick you up apart from the outside. You need to put that pressure in his face and you gotta eat some fucking shots, but that's what you have to do.
Gastelum pressured him the whole fight.
Kelvin was doing that, and like I think that's the difference between Israel Adesanya and like some of these other quote unquote technical strikers, that he's down to fucking fight. Like And he showed it in that fight. Like, he's down to just go blow for blow and just throw back and forth.
Well, in that first round, when he hit him, that combo, that two-punch combo that, I mean, rocked Gastelum in the first round.
Yeah, and who knows, too, though. When Adesanya hits him and rocks him,
that
takes a lot
of what he was thinking
too.
About, too, when he was coming in on that second.
Gastelum won the first round. I thought he won the first and the fourth. Right, he lost the second, the third, and the fifth, right? I think that was it.
I think so.
I mean, Gastelum hurt him in the first round.
Yeah.
But that was... How do you think Weidman does against him? If he doesn't get caught. If Weidman gets caught, it's over.
Now, I think it's the same kind of fight. Just a little different, more, not as dirty boxing, more like, because Weidman's long too. But I think it would still be a primarily boxing match with some kicks thrown here and there.
Should they have stopped the fight at the end? Because the announcer, John Anik, is yelling, stop the fight. You know, Joe Rogan is like, you should stop it right here, right? But he was still defending himself. I felt like the ref was just letting him finish.
Yes.
Yeah. He was like, he's so close, I don't want to call it right here. Dude. Right, exactly. He's obviously gassed. It was like he was more tired than hurt at that point. Like, he was just holding on to make it to the bell, and I felt the ref was letting him do that.
And he could have been telling the ref, like, I'm okay, I'm just tired, I'm okay,
right,
I'm tired.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Because that's what I felt was going on there. It was pretty interesting.
Well, I talked about it last night when I watched it again last night with my roommate. And we were talking about, like, we were saying, like, if that's a different fight, if that's a 3-round fight where he's getting the shit kicked out of him the whole time and then that's the end of it, stop it. But if it's a back and forth, it's 2-2, potentially this round is deciding it, like, you can't just take that away from Kelvin. You know what I mean?
But
it could have easily been stopped, but you can't.
He lost that round, though.
Well, he lost that round, but, like, who knows? Who knows what the refs see?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, as the ref there, or what the judges see, rather. But as the ref there, I feel like it's, like, 5 seconds left when he actually started, like, really just covering up. Let it go, the five.
I was really proud of Kelvin. I thought he fought amazing. You know, obviously I was biased towards him. He's a friend of mine. Yeah, you're right. It just that 5 seconds would have made the biggest. But you don't know if he would have had him out. I mean, he was rocked, but we've seen guys recover.
But no, but he was already. I mean, he'd been rocked for a few seconds there already.
Yeah but
like if it was a quick recovery moment, it would have happened. He was rocked.
But there was 30 seconds left in the round. It wasn't like it was.
If there was 30 seconds left, stop.
No, I'm saying when Kelvin rocked him in the fourth, there was about still like 30 seconds left. For it wasn't like it was at 10 seconds into the round.
It doesn't matter. You go for the kill.
No, but I'm saying it's not like he definitely would have finished him. That's what I'm trying to say.
You're right. You can't say that he definitely would have, but that was definitely his best chance at winning the fight and you were, right there.
And it was definitely one of those moments of like, oh.
Yes. Yeah. Because he hadn't been bothering with the wrestling all night, and he never bothered with it again.
Was that more than that than the Chael Sonnen moment when he got caught in the triangle against Anderson Silva?
Oh, my God. When that fucking happened, I lost my shit. I could not believe that happened. I was so pissed
when that happened. I was like.
I loved it.
I had to go on stage. I had like the worst set of my life. I was like, you would think somebody died. Like, dude, one time there was a fight like that going on in like a big fight. And I go on stage and I could see in the corner of this, like in the back of the comedy club, they're still playing it on a TV.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm looking over. I'm just like, this is not fair to these people who paid to come to the show. All right. So Dustin Poirier beat Max Holloway. I didn't see that happening.
I didn't either.
I didn't either until I started watching the fight. Oh my God. Dustin was tagging him up.
Did you see that happening? Well, how did you see that happening?
They have similar styles, but to me, Poirier has a little more power.
Yeah.
That was evident.
He's a little more conscientious of. Of being in the pocket than Max is, where Max will sit there and just start swinging, you know what I mean? Yeah. Dustin's swinging with his eyes open, watching at the whole time.
Was that the same Max Holloway that fought the other guy?
Yeah.
Ortega?
Yes.
You think he would have beaten it?
Yes.
It didn't seem like it was...
It was the same exact Max Holloway. Now he's fighting a guy the same size, who hits harder than him, and who can take his punches.
Or even bigger, yeah.
MMA, it shows you how MMA math doesn't work, though. I mean, Michael Johnson knocks out Poirier. And then loses
long time ago.
Yes. But
different. Like, that's a different fight.
Korean Zombie
that's
beats
a different fighter.
Beats Poirier. A lot of guys beat Poirier, and like you look at where he is now. I mean, he was 6 months ago. He was super young then too.
Six months ago, he retired from the UFC.
Remember, he wanted to leave the UFC six months ago.
He has like the most fights in the UFC, doesn't he?
He's got a lot of fights.
Unbelievable.
So like, but all those losses, you're like, oh, this guy beats him. This guy beats him. That was like 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
He's a fucking different guy now.
That's what I was thinking, because I'm watching him like, this is a much better fighter than what I was expecting.
He was always great.
And even in the first few moments, I was like, oh, Max is going to get him. Oh, I felt confident. I was like, oh, man. And then all of a sudden, pap, pap, pap. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you see Max take that first one like, oh.
I think the Gaethje fight. Yeah. I think the Gaethje fight. I think the Gaethje fight was a turning point in Max in Dustin's career.
For sure.
Because that fight was like, people were picking Gaethje for that fight.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is, and then he just outclassed Gaethje and just beat him up.
Fucked him
up. And look at how good Gaethje looks now. People are giving him a shot against Khabib.
Yeah.
Poirier Khabib, how does that go? Khabib.
All day.
Khabib. Khabib, you can't go against Khabib, man.
No, absolutely not. Are you guys, you guys are the fighters, so maybe I should be considering this more deeply. But I mean, no. I mean, Khabib all day. And twice on Sunday. Poirier, he looked great versus Max Holloway. But I mean, this is a guy who beat up Conor McGregor. Beat him up. Yeah. I don't know. To me, I wouldn't take anybody versus Khabib right now.
It does seem like Poirier does really well against strikers. But we haven't seen him against somebody with, like, bear strength, like Khabib. Yeah.
Right.
I
mean, he does have a black belt in jiu-jitsu, or in thug jiu-jitsu.
A lot of people have black belts in jiu-jitsu against, but it just seems
exactly.
It's just, I'm telling you, the guy that you fought, I think, has the best shot against Khabib.
Oh, Gregor?
Gregor Gillespie. The guy's a national champion wrestler. Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Khabib would smash.
You act like you were
in
the corner, you were in the cage with him or something.
No. No, but I just think it's a different kind of wrestling, and Khabib has a better striking style too. So I think Khabib would outclass him because they're like the same guy, but Khabib's just like a better version of him to me.
But I can't believe Khabib's how good.
Like
Tyler's a good wrestler.
That could strike.
Tyler would do very well against a lot of wrestlers in MMA and Bellator and the UFC. And he said that you were smoking him. No disrespect, but he was like, fucking... And this dude was taking you down, right? So how is he a different level?
I can't describe it, dude. Like, you just have to, like... You just have to know what it's like to go with someone that has such an ability that there's nothing you can fucking do to stop it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure you've wrestled with people that you were just like, you can't fucking do anything. You just feel so helpless. Well, you know what I mean?
You can't even run away.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even, like... And that's just, not only counter it, you can't even...
But you haven't rolled with Khabib yet, ever, have you?
No, but it, look, he does it to everyone. No one can stop his double leg or a single leg. Like, the way when he grabs the leg, he doesn't let go.
Wasn't it, who's that guy from Dagestan you fought? The guy that suplexed you?
Fuck, can't think of his name.
Really Rustam
Kavalov.
He suplexed you pretty hard.
Yeah, Rustam Kavalov. He has a weird name.
But now he was from Dagestan, right?
Yeah, he trains with Khabib, I think.
Okay.
I think they train together.
Dude, it was the craziest thing.
They all train
together.
They're all cousins or something, dude. They're like Mexicans. Yeah.
So Vince is like undefeated, right? Vince is undefeated.
Easy. Mexicans of Russia.
Easy, it's true.
So this is how dope Vince is, right? So Vince undefeated. He loses to Ally Aquinta in a two round fight.
Yeah, 2 round fight.
All right. Then he goes against is this dude who's this Russian guy from Dagestan, suplexes him on his head, knocks him out with a suplex, right? Mm. His next fight. All he does is suplex the next guy. And Jaquani. It was like...
Oh, yeah, Jaquani, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you did the exact same thing.
Well, that's when I was like, I'm fucking practicing wrestling.
Yeah.
At that time, I honestly was practicing wrestling fucking 5% of the time.
But were you that man that, like, he did that to you? That you're like, I'm going to... Because that, like, back-to-back suplex is not a typical move, though.
Yeah, that pissed me off. And I was like, I want, like, what the fuck? I want that happening again. I want to learn how to do
that
shit. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like... That's what you do.
I know how it made me feel, and now I'm going to do it to somebody else.
I learned a fucking lesson, and now no one touches me like that.
Did you practice that in practice? Were you practicing the belly to belly suplex, whatever that was?
How he slammed me? It was just behind. It was just back, back suplex, just regular suplex. But
did you ever come close to knocking Njikwani out with it or no?
No, but I did. I knocked him out in the second round with a punch. I had him. I did. I suplexed him, and then I had him in side turtle, and I threw an uppercut underneath his arm, and he went out. And I'm like, fuck yeah, bonus shot. So I start hitting him again. I keep like going, right? And he's face down. So he wakes up, gets up, and then runs towards the cage.
Now, people don't realize how good Anthony Njikawani was, like a world class kickboxer.
Yeah.
Like, he's like got numerous titles.
I was honestly terrified in that fight. Yeah. He fucking broke my face in the first 30 seconds of that fight, and I had double vision that whole fucking fight.
Oh, yeah, your eye, right?
Yeah, I fought that fucker with double vision that whole time.
Is that why you only go out with fat chicks?
Yeah.
All right, that's amazing. No.
Why seem like that?
All right, so anyway, here we go. Boom.
Boom, roasted. Roasted, boom.
Did you break your face and get double vision?
First of all, that boom roasted. Tom Brady posts a thing today going like picture of me. Ben Askren goes, you have a worse body than me. Boom, roasted. I was like,
that is hilarious.
Like, you have a worse body than me. Boom, roasted.
I think it's, is that, who got roasted?
Well, he knows.
It should be boom, like dual roasted.
Whatever.
Yeah, he knows he's like a gangly, loppy looking fucking weirdo.
He's got a dad bod, dude. He knows. He
totally.
The worst body to be boom, roasted.
He's like a skinny fat person.
That's exactly what it is.
The funniest thing was at that fight against Robbie Lawler, that he was like a 3-1 favorite.
Yeah.
And you look at them, it looked like pros versus Joes.
Absolutely.
It did.
Just someone from the crowd. It's like, you, get over here.
This fucking curly haired fucking dude.
Who will take on this man? I'll do it.
Napoleon Dynamite looking motherfucker.
Boom, roasted.
Boom, roasted.
Dude, that would have.
Bulldog choke.
If they would have stopped that fight in the first, that would have probably been the worst debut in the history of MMA after all that hype.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And Dana would have been like, he would have been on cloud nine. I know that they're friends now, but he would have been like, yeah, our guys are just a different level. Look what happened to Askren.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure.
I thought they were going to stop it.
That's happened before where a lot of guys came from Bellator and that were really successful.
And that's clearly what he was trying to do was throw him to the wolves.
But not
clearly.
That bad.
That's what I thought when I saw the matchup. I was like, oh, yeah, they're trying to chew him up and spit him out. That's what I thought.
They also wanted a guy that he couldn't get under his skin. They picked a guy like Robbie Lawler who, like, it wasn't like Darren Till or somebody who asked him could just annoy the fuck out of, you know?
Yeah.
A guy who... Like, what are you going to say to Robbie Lawler?
Yeah. A real champ.
Yeah, it's fucking Robbie Lawler.
So, I'll tell you who I felt bad for was my friend, Eric Anders. against Khalil Roundtree.
Yeah. Oh, I thought we were talking about Alan Jobon now, but yes. Oh, not true, I didn't watch the Anders fight.
Oh, Anders,
I want to see it. No, I'm going to watch it, but I haven't seen it.
It was one of the most painful fights. He kicked this guy's leg out.
He went to he started training in Thailand for like this camp, and he was in that fight like he was a fucking straight Thai boxer.
And he was already an amazing Thai boxer. Like, yeah. Like, and he kicked his leg. They could have stopped it in the first. And Eric had so much heart, but the announcers were like, "They got to throw in the towel. They got to throw in the towel. This is not good. What is he? It was sad. And I like Eric Andrews, and I don't know if they brought him up too fast. Yeah. Or what? Because he was just knocking everyone out in the beginning. 8-0, 9-0, 10-0. But I don't know. And he even went to a different camp for this. He went to, I think, Colorado and trained with those guys at Team Elevation. Because I think he said.
Oh, really?
I think he said, yeah, I think he did. But man, Eric's got heart, but he's just got to take a step back and be like, okay, what do I need to do? Because he's got all the tools. You know, he's got everything. It's just.
Well, he just needs to assess, like, His defensive strategies on striking, you know what I mean? Like, leg kicks, there's basic strategies to do it, like checking or even trapping it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but he knows that, right?
Yeah, but if you don't practice it, you won't do
you're
it.
You're not going to do
you
it.
You won't do it.
You're not going to do it. You have to drill. That's one of the biggest things that I learned just from this fight is, like, there's certain things that you'll always do. You'll always be able to throw a punch. You'll always be able to throw a kick. But when you do it and, like, drilling things, like, if you're not on it, like, disciplined, it's not going to come out in the fight.
That's the point of training and drilling. It's to get that muscle memory. Though when you're hit a certain way or push a certain way, you react a certain way. It's the muscle memory that
exactly.
You want.
Yeah, like, you got to count on that.
You can have all the talent in the world and be able to do all, like, you know, if you're sparring, you can throw, improvise, and throw all this crazy shit. But, like, when it comes down to it, when the pressure's on and you're tired, if you haven't drilled stuff, you're not going to be doing anything.
It's a lot like comedy. Because
I was going to say, it's a lot like comedy. No matter how much you've had to drink, no matter how much blow, you just rely on the material to come out of your mouth, and you get out of there.
Just rely on the material.
Not only that, but, like, you know.
Dude. I know it's funny. Fuck you.
Greg, I was about to say about, like, comedy. You guys just hijacked my fucking point, all right?
All right,
recap of what happened. I go, it's a lot like comedy. Yeah. I was about to say, blah, 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 and you two fuckers laugh. And I never got a chance.
Well, they both were, imitating me, drunk, do too much coke, trying to still do comedy. That's what it sounded like they were trying to do.
Cocaine, okay. Okay. Drug, motherfuckers.
That's exactly what
I was. You repeat the same joke five times when you were on coke the other night?
Yeah, I did. I one time. Oh, I had one bad one where I went into, like, I couldn't remember my fucking material. I was too high. I was too drunk. The problem was, I started drinking at 6 o'clock in the evening, and the show started at 12:30 at night, and I went on at 2 o'clock in the morning. So at that point, I've been drinking,
without a power nap,
I just did a little blow to try and recover, but it wasn't enough. My brain was mush.
Mix in some Molly, too. You never know.
What I was trying to say.
There might have been some Molly mixed, too. Listen, all I can say is
okay.
What I was trying to say was, not the blow and stuff, but a lot of times when you see a guy on Netflix or Comedy Central and it's a hot crowd, they could put almost any comic in that situation, they could look great, okay? But it's when the crowd's not with you, when the audience is tired, when shit went down, when the feature bombed, or maybe he did too much crowd work, or whatever the hell happens, when you're in a hole, and that's when you could see when there's a good comic or not. That's when but the problem is people don't see that on TV. They go, oh, this is a guy from, you know, Levity that they put on. But it's when everything's stacked against you. That's when you know this guy's a pro or not.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I guess, with fighting, too.
I like my analogy better.
Yeah,
like.
All right, so Alan Jubon.
I like booze and blow,
Alan
too.
Jubon, I only caught a couple of Alan Jubon minutes of it. It looked like he was winning that fight. Like he was chasing
that. Okay, first of all, there was...
won that fight.
He won that fight.
I mean, I see...
Well, hello, little...
It was weird too, because one judge gave him three rounds.
Exactly.
Which was weird. And then the other two had it split, but to the other guy. And the weird thing about it though was I could see it either way, because yes, he was pressuring, but the other guy was connecting more.
Yeah, he was landing shots, but he wasn't really doing much damage. So
like, neither one of them were. I mean, it was a lot of nothingness. But yes, the other guy was backing up the whole fight. But if you were talking about when they would engage, the other guy did, I think, I mean, he seemed to land cleaner, more significant hits when they would engage, which was almost...
Because I put Alan Jumon's name in Twitter and said he won, so I texted him, congrats.
What?
He lost. I go, oh, my bad. I heard you got robbed. No. Sorry, dude.
And he did lose his mind when they announced that it wasn't him. Best. He lost his mind.
I gave it to him. I gave him the edge on it. I would have gave him the split decision.
Well, I thought he was going to win the split. When they were like, it's a split, I thought it was definitely still going to be Al just on Octagon Aggression. But when they said the other guy, I was like, well, I mean, he did seem to connect more cleanly, more in the few times. And that was the other thing, okay? That was the other thing. When you don't engage, when you engage that little over three rounds and leave it up to the judges, well, that you know, shit like that happens.
You think Alan didn't engage?
Not nearly enough.
And another thing,
neither
too
of them
is,
did.
Even if you feel like you totally won the fight, you still only have a 50-50 chance of winning.
Yeah.
Now, exactly.
You don't know what now, the fuck those judges are thinking. Now,
the audience was booing. The audience was booing most of the second and almost all the third.
Now, do you think when a guy at the end of a fight like acts like he won, does that sway the judge at all?
It's too late.
No, it's too late. By then, the decision's been made. It'll sway the other fighter though. Like when I fought Joaquin Silva, I couldn't hear Buffer, and that motherfucker put his hands up, and I was crushed because I thought he won. And then the ref pulled my hand up. So I was like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I was like super stoked. But
emotional.
Like, yeah, that happened to me. Yeah. Like I was like crushed for like that fucking split second. I was like, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like,
was that girl who you were like friend zoned with? Was she with you during that fight?
Who?
Who's that hot girl with glasses who like is in love with you, but you guys are best friends?
Are you talking about Stephanie?
Yeah.
You guys, she was there.
Who's the fighter girl that you were? Remember we had her?
Jessie Jess.
Yeah.
What happened with her?
You guys were talking and shit.
No, we were talking for a little bit.
Fireworks were popping.
Really, we were talking for a little bit, but nothing really ever materialized. Like,
yeah, she made you work too hard.
she flaked at me a couple times, and then I was like,
fuck that.
Yeah, and then I heard some stories, and I wanted to go visit her, but I wasn't going to go visit her and have her flake on me and then be out there like a fucking asshole.
Which,
you know,
seems like that she loves that.
I would have been really pissed.
Because she did that
to
Ween Dog like three times.
At the Performance Institute banging on the door.
But he's not the only person that has told me something like that, so I wasn't going to put myself
real?
In that situation.
Yeah. Right, yeah. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Like, god damn
it. I like her. She's a cool chick. I still think she's a cool chick. Right. She's still an amazing cool chick, but
Ween Dog showed up at the UFC gym like banging on the door. Like, I'm outside, and she's like, security.
But didn't she invite him?
Kind of. I think she thought he was kidding.
She don't know window.
What's up, people? The playoffs. The NBA playoffs is underway in the NBA. Yes, and there are some great games. The Celtics are playing the Pacers. The Spurs are playing the Nuggets. All right? Are your confidence high? Are you willing to place a wager? Don't know where to start? There's only one place to get in all the action. Grab the odds and allow the experts at betonline.ag do the heavy lifting for you. They got sports, they got live betting, virtual casino, you name it. BetOnline.ag is CLNS Media's preferred sports book online. If you're feeling lucky and like to support our podcast, go to CLNSmedia.com/winning and use promo code CLNS50 for that 50% sign-up bonus. That's CLNS50. BetOnline.ag, your sports book experts.
All right, Bilal Muhammad.
I think he's really going to show up.
Bilal Muhammad looked amazing. That was the best against Curtis Millender. Whoa.
Yes.
He looked really good.
That was actually. I didn't need to know either Millender. One of those guys, but I thought that dude did look really good. I didn't know who he was before that fight. I'd never seen him before.
And then Montel Jackson beat Andre Suckumtoff. And that girl, Pauline.
Andre Suckumtoff?
Suck him off.
And then Poliano Capella beat Lauren Muller. That fight, I wanted Lauren to win. But Lauren was coming on hard in the third. Another girl that needed a finish. What is it with these people that need finishes with 1 minute left and then go for a takedown? Do they think they're going to get a sub? Is that what they think is going
to
happen?
I don't know, but I'd love to be the meat between those two pieces of bread.
There's some good looking women right there. Yeah. Have you ever been with a Brazilian chick?
No, I haven't.
No.
Really? No. Seems like that would just be part of the fight game.
You would think.
I'll tell you, Australian girls are wild. Australian girls.
I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard. The first time I heard that was when I was stationed in Pensacola, and one of my instructors was a Navy guy, and he was married to an Australian chick. And he told us, when you pull into port on the ships, you start seeing tennis balls getting thrown onto the ship. Just like hundreds of tennis balls.
From the girls?
You pick them up, and there's phone numbers written on the tennis balls.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're all hot.
And they're all wean dog phone numbers.
Hey, boy.
All those prepaid phones. All those burners.
It's just drug burners. Hey, call this number. No, yeah. Like, and I had it like confirmed by
that's people. Their version of catfishing.
Yeah. The first time I ever banged an Australian girl, I like really wanted to impress her. She was hot. I picked her up at Stand Up New York. Afterwards, she goes, "That's all you got?"
Oh, fuck.
Damn. So I was like, all right, we're doing round two tomorrow.
After a good night's rest, I'm getting back in there. I'm going to show you what's what.
So, this week, All-Star Overeem against Alexei Olenek.
Ooh.
Olenek is, which one? He's the guy with the...
Olenek, he's the Ezekiel from the bottom guy.
Always,
right?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. From Mount.
Oh my God, like that guy? When someone's mounting him, he fucking Ezekiels him twice.
Every time.
I think it's happened three times.
I think Overeem knocks him out.
Let's hope Overeem doesn't take him out and mount him.
Let's hope Overeem just like sticks with what Overeem can do.
Steroids?
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's get Overeem back.
Roxanne's on the card.
I think Overeem wins this fight. No.
Oh, Roxy?
Yeah, Roxy's on the card.
She is the shit.
That girl's talking shit about
her. Who's
she
fighting?
She's my favorite female fighter.
Antonina?
No, that girl's sister, Shevchenko's sister.
Yeah, little Shevchenko.
Oh, that's your sister?
Yeah, the one who beat Ashley Evan Smith.
Okay. Yeah. I can't really see because the picture's black and white for some reason.
But anything happened with you, Ashley Evan Smith? You guys were had a little fire going?
No, I never.
You guys ever at each other? And...
No.
Mm-hmm. All right, so.
I actually haven't. I've heard, dude. We can talk off air.
All right.
What?
Oh, okay.
You know something I don't?
Yeah.
All right, so this fight's in Russia. Rashad Evans is going to be there.
Dirty deets.
He'll be the only black person in Russia. Islam Makhachev, do we know him? Come on, guys. We can't talk about this. Sang-Wu Choi is taking on Mavsar Alov.
Hold on. I'm trying to catch up with you. Where is he?
I don't know who these people are.
What is wrong with my thing?
Michael.
Why can't I get
Olechuk. Yeah, say that fucking name.
this house, no. Come on, say
this
it.
House
say
it. Sucks
I don't know
the,
these people.
Adam doesn't give us the Wi-Fi password.
I have the Wi-Fi password. I just can't find the network. All right,
I got it.
Go to MMA Junkie. Go to events. Go to future events on MMA Junkie.
Just go to the UFC app. I got the UFC app.
I'm telling you, I'm getting no.
Sometimes they have blackout.
My Sprint sucks. Look, let's just be honest.
You have the app, I have the app.
Okay, also, Ryzen this
Sprint.
Week.
Sprint. I know.
King Mo is cheap, fighting. Though. King Mo is fighting at Ryzen against Jiri Prochapka. You know him? Tyler?
I'm excited for King Mo's return. King Mo hasn't fought since he fought Bader, right? He hasn't fought since he fought Bader?
Yeah, he got knocked out by Bader.
That was his last fight, right?
Yeah,
did he fight after that?
I like King Mo.
I do too. I'm excited for his return.
Also, Ben Wynn. Yeah.
King Mo's great.
He's fighting Haraguchi against Ben Wynn.
Nice.
Ben Wynn's the guy that knocked out Jesse Jess's ex-boyfriend. Remember that crazy guy that like has tattoos all over his face? That like she knocked him out. He was like domestic abuse.
That was her boyfriend? That was I don't know what he looked like.
Yeah, he has tattoos all over his face.
So that's really? What she needs.
And then
she likes trashy boys too.
She likes criminals.
Smith. Nor she likes
she did
me.
Ask Evan Smith also.
You're not criminal enough.
Then he went to Team Alpha Male and Cody Nola.
I just don't get caught.
Cousin knocked him out. And goes, welcome to Team Alpha Male, bitch.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, I heard about that.
Oh,
I heard about that.
Right. Yeah,
this guy that was talking shit to this guy, Ben Wynn, and I think Ben Wynn knocked him out. Like,
he's the one that knocked him out at
Alpha
Male.
He's fighting Kyoji Horiguchi.
Damn.
Horiguchi's the guy who just beat our guy from San Diego.
Yeah, Horiguchi's dope.
He beat the San Diego, the dude that was a belt champion. Right? Didn't he beat the Bellator champion?
You're not talking about what's his name, right? Fucking
NCAA champion,
Shane.
Fucking Darian Caldwell, fucking the Wolf. Oh. Yeah.
He beat Caldwell. So I think Ben Wynn's gonna get killed in this fight against Haraguchi.
You think he will?
Yeah.
Yeah, Haraguchi's good. He's really good, dude. Yeah. Your boy's fighting Damian Brown.
Yeah, the guy that you fought.
Who's Damian fighting?
Damian fighting Koji Takeda.
Oh, I thought he's
Damian won his last fight against Khrushchev.
Yeah, right? He did. He looked really good.
He was getting killed, and he hit him with a guillotine.
Yeah, but
all right, rear neck and choke. No, a guillotine.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe that was part of his plan.
God's plan.
I
don't know any of the other guys.
Okay, UFC, and then April 27th, Jacare versus Hermanson. Didn't Jarrett Hermanson just fight Jack Hermanson? Didn't he just win?
Yeah. He fought, he just...
David Branch, right?
He just submitted David Branch, yeah.
He's fighting Jacare right now.
Yeah, he's going to get tapped. You think he's coming in there with that bullshit, dude? Sorry. You think he's going to come in here with that bullshit against Jacare?
David Branch is a black belt.
Not Jacare, though. He's not Jacare.
I don't know, but Jacare kind of thinks he's a striker now, so...
I know.
We'll see.
What are the levels of black belt, right? So, like a Dave Branch
There's
black belt...
There's so many levels.
Like a Jacare black belt and a... let's say guy at your gym black belt. I mean,
so yeah, like you never know. It's like they know the same stuff, but applying it is. If you're a professional jiu-jitsu guy, like
that's why I hate belts.
Yeah,
like that's why I like wrestling because there's no belts in wrestling, but you know when a guy's a champ. And
you know who's a badass. Okay.
I thought you were talking like WWE. I'm like, because that's scripted. Everybody knows who's going to win before you even start.
It's confusing.
You don't know that?
No, it's confusing that both these guys are black belts. You know what I'm saying? In a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a guy like Dave Branch, who's probably a great black belt, and a guy like Jacare, and you're like, if he tries that shit against him, he's going to get killed.
Yeah.
But it's the styles. Who knows? Maybe his jiu-jitsu... You never know. Maybe like the shittiest jiu-jitsu player in the world can stifle Jacare's jiu-jitsu just because he has this one thing. Yeah, in MMA, because he has this one weird way that he fucking stifles him. You know what I mean? I mean, probably fucking never, but you know what I mean? Like sometimes it has happened. Yeah, sometimes it has happened where you've seen guys just get stopped like that.
I mean, that's true. Adesanya like had a solid guillotine attempt and a triangle attempt against Kelvin Gastelum, and Kelvin Gastelum was a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Well, Jacare couldn't submit Kelvin either. Twice.
Jacare couldn't submit Kelvin.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a black
belt. I mean, he can't strangle him because he doesn't really have a neck, so.
Yeah, exactly.
He also has, like, two dumb...
It's got to be a benefit.
He also has one of those things where he's just like, you see with actors all the time, like... I talk myself.
The old he doesn't morale have a booster.
No.
He does have two. He has no neck, but he does have four balls. No. So life has its
own.
They are
giants.
Like, you ever notice, Greg, comedy,
he's got more of what you have.
You ever notice with comedy, acting, or fighting? Like so many times I've had auditions where like, this fucking guy is gonna be there, and this, and if I get this, then that'll happen, and I've already lost. I'm out the fucking door.
Yep.
But Kelvin has this thing where nothing gets bigger than him.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't care who he's fighting. It's not going to affect him. He doesn't... He just fights better than he does in practice.
Yeah.
Where other guys, like Mike Pyle will tell you, in the gym, was the greatest fighter in the history of fighting, but then would go out there and just get sometimes knocked out by guys that you're like, fuck, that would never happen.
I think I'm that guy.
That what?
I'm the good... In the gym, like, everything's perfect, and you're like, all solid, and then when the lights come on, it's just... What the fuck?
I don't know how I am.
I don't know. I would say you're the other kind.
Vince shines.
To start fighting at 26 years old like you did, and to make the UFC at 32.
I do. I know that I do very well under pressure. Like if I'm super with my back against the wall, like super bad, I know that's when I do my best.
You've never gotten dominated in a fight.
Not really. Not where I was like worried.
Yeah.
You've never got outclassed. I mean, you've gotten submitted. You never looked bad in a fight.
Yeah, like when I fought Gregor, he took me down a few times, but I honestly started stopping him too. Like I started like, it's stupid, but my game plan was to wear him out by taking me down. So it was actually starting to work. At the end of the first round, he was like sucking wind hard.
Yeah. I'm gonna get him to leave me alone by blowing him until he's out of juice.
For real, he was.
Then we'll see who's tag.
And I just made a mistake, got caught. But like,
yeah,
like I was never really like. I was never in a position where I was like worried, you know. Like, but I don't know.
I told Tom Galicia,
I'm good if I could protect myself.
I was like, Tom, if it was a 12 round fight, you would have won. But I honestly,
you'd have won the last at least 6 to 7.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that there are certain guys. If it was like 20 rounds,
they're
win.
Suited for that. Yeah. They're suited for just like, okay, we're fighting until one of us dies,
and they'll win as a round sport. 17.
Yes.
Like,
well, that's how boxing used to be.
It used to be 15 rounders.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, it used to be 80 rounds.
Yeah.
100 rounds.
It was just until someone
went down. Yeah, until it was done.
Like, oh, it's like if the undercar went that long, too.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, it used to be a fight. So it sounds like we're going to the boxing fight this month.
We're taking away gloves. Yeah. You guys get fist packs
rounds
now.
12 Let's through 88 sounds like they were probably pretty boring.
This match is going a little long. Here's some knuckles. A
lot of hugging. A lot of hugging for that 60 rounds.
Someone can toss you water.
You know what sucks? Is like there's no time limit. Back then, right? So someone had to like report each punch like by paper.
Are they just little tickers in their hand? Like, that's all you hear?
Also, Greg Hardy is fighting Dmitry Smolovkov.
Cool.
Lame.
Alex Oliveira.
Cool.
Who has eight kids with six different women. And they all live in the same block.
Isn't he?
Yeehaw, damn.
Isn't he the other cowboy? One? Like cowboy? Jesus. Yeah, he's the other cowboy.
He sure is.
Yeah, that's cowboy.
He sure fucking
no,
is.
But somebody was like, "You're the man." If that was in America, people would be like, "What a pig," you know. But in Brazil, everyone's like, "That guy's a legend."
That guy's a legend.
He was just where he gets.
But how lazy, right? Like, yeah, that's crazy. He's fighting Mike Perry.
He gets child support from every woman. That's a banger.
I like that fight a lot too. Yeah.
I love that.
Who wins that fight?
Mike Perry's actually been looking pretty good.
I kind of like Mike Perry.
If Mike Perry fight, who was his last fight?
Cowboy.
No,
he fought after Cowboy, didn't he?
No, the Cowboy. But he
Cowboy.
Also,
but he no, looked Cowboy. Really good against Cowboy.
He got tapped in the first.
He wasn't. Yeah, but he wasn't making mistakes.
Listen. Poor life choices. Okay, it could happen to anyone. It was a long five minutes.
In the stand-up, which is where this cowboy wants to take it.
Yeah.
Wait, he's fighting two cowboys in a row?
Yeah.
Revenge cowboy.
He wants revenge.
Yeah, I think
vengeance. I'll beat one of these cowboys.
Exactly. I think Perry can take it.
If he beats Greg Hardy, that'll be three cowboys.
It will be. Because he was a cowboy.
Yeah.
Get it. All right. Kudalaba is fighting Glover Teixeira.
What you call me?
Kudalaba's good. Right? Isn't he the guy that looks crazy?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then
Teixeira's looks pretty good.
That sounds like a restaurant you want to try out on Postmates.
I really like Teixeira.
Do you want to order from Cordelaba?
I think, and he's looked pretty solid.
Here they have those tapas.
They have Ben Saunders fighting Takashi Sato, who they have is 0-3. Is that possible?
In the UFC?
In his whole career.
Yeah, but like, how do you get
talk about failing up. Jesus Christ.
How do you get...
You're stupid. It does not say he's 0-3.
Did they leave it? Maybe they left the one off. Maybe it's supposed to be 10-3. I hope that's true. That's fucking horrible. Well, check. What does it say on the UFC? What does it say on the UFC
app? Fighting Ben Saunders. Sorry, bud.
Hold on.
Sorry, Takashi.
Is that the same one?
What does that say about Ben's career? When they're like, we got to get him back. Wait a minute. This is mine. That one's yours. I know, you're looking for the button. I'm like, there's no button on this one. There's no button.
He said, talk about failing up.
Yeah.
Failing up. Oh,
how do you do that? How do you keep getting promoted when you keep losing? It can't be right. He must have.
What card is it?
He gives CM Punk hope.
Which card is it?
What card is it?
UFC on ESPN3, Jacare versus Hermanson.
No, there it is.
In Sunrise, Florida. He's fighting Tasha.
That's got all the
Jim Miller's fighting? Yeah. Jason Gonzalez?
It's got all the big winning attributes. No.
Jim Miller? Why don't you fight me, dude?
It's on ESPN 3.
He's 14
out of,
and 2.
Out of some retirement.
He's 14 and 2.
And they had 0-3. I like the better as 0-3.
I like 0-3 more, yeah, for sure.
Diego Lima is fighting.
Oh, Corbin. John Lineker's fighting.
That's actually a good card.
Hands of stone.
Carla Esparza is fighting a girl who's 14-0. Verna Jandaroba. Man, they don't give her anybody easy. Carla Esparza. Remember we hung out with her.
Carla Esparza's a badass, though.
Yeah.
She's sweet.
Yeah. She's kind of cute, too.
She is.
And then that same night.
Cookie Monster. I didn't know that was her nickname.
McDonald's. Cookie Monster. Eat that cookie.
Rory McDonald is fighting John Fitch.
Interessante.
It's going to be super exciting or super boring as a motherfucker.
I think it's going to be exciting.
Really?
Yeah.
No. When has John Fitch ever been an exciting fight? Ever.
Rory's always exciting, though.
Yeah.
But if Fitch is going to play his game and Rory's going to play the same lame game, it's going to be a fucking super lame fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're going to be canceling each other's lameness out with their lame abilities.
Alima Lane McFarlane's on the card. She's hot.
She's
Hawaiian.
She's fucking gangster.
Wait, who?
Alima Lane McFarlane's fighting Veta.
Hold on, where is she?
Atiega. Phil Davis is fighting Liam McGarry.
She's the Hawaiian. Hawaiian.
I don't even see that on the same card.
No, this is Bellator.
Oh.
And then Ben Henderson's taking Adam Piccolotti. He's a good fighter. Yeah, it's actually a pretty good good little card.
I have to go somewhere else to see the Bellator fights.
Why?
It's on, I'm on the UFC app.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking on the UFC app because it has that and like the, all the other little smoke shows that they engulfed.
Yeah, but they're probably not going to list the Bellator fights. Yeah,
Leslie Smith, a sign with Bellator.
Oh, that's good.
Did she?
Yeah, good for her.
Good for her. Good
Shout
for
out to her. And Invicta's having a one-night strawweight championship. They're having a tournament all in one night. Yeah, Invicta. Nine girls, a one night.
I like the description. It's like
nine girls, one night.
I was gonna say it's like a lot of the videos I watch online. So
I'm wait, if it's I'm nine. So they fight
multiple. They fight multiple times.
Nine girls, one winner.
Let's go. Multiple fights in a night. That's the
that winner could be you.
Jordan Burroughs wants one MMA fight. He says.
Let's do it. I'm in. I'm into it. Teach him how to box. Let's go.
I don't know. I mean. That's a dangerous thing to say, right? Because
he has to. You have to learn stand up. You have to learn stand up.
No one doesn't.
Come on, Jordan Burroughs. Who are they going to put against? I mean, if it's one fight, you don't think that they're going to want like a big fight?
I mean, maybe they don't necessarily have to do that. And if people are going to talk shit, fuck them. Let them talk shit. It's MMA. It's not wrestling.
Have
them
fight Dylan Danis. That would be good, like that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. That if would be someone great. Like that because it'd be a grappling match, and I'd like to see him smash Dylan Danis.
Danis might catch him though. No,
he might. He might. Yeah.
Yeah,
he
could. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I would just like to see that matchup.
Conor McGregor has a PR crisis manager.
I don't even care.
I think you take the word PR off of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was a made up phrase.
I think he just needs a crisis. Yeah, just a crisis manager.
Ronda Rousey's taking a vacation from
to get pregnant. WWE, yeah.
She's gonna get pregnant
finally.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Damn.
Ronda Rousey is interesting. She's one of those girls that can look so hot and so not, depending on what angle you get.
She should fight John Fitch.
You know, like sometimes you see it. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, God damn, she's hot. And then sometimes you're like, she kind of looks like a dude.
Yeah.
So it just depends on, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, those are the things. What do you got coming up? Hey, babe.
Oh.
She's back from Coachella. The Molly wear off? Okay.
You can have it because I'm sick of it already.
Miles was in love with her. Miles was like following her around, smelling her butt.
Say hi.
Yeah,
say hi, Vi.
Did you get kisses?
Aww. Funny how dogs are pretty good.
Okay, all right. Let's get the baby away from the dog.
Baby, relax. Beep. So what do you got coming up, Greg?
This Friday and Saturday. I'm going to be in Vegas.
Wait, which day?
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay.
Thursday, though, I'm just going to see Aerosmith.
Okay.
They're doing the show at the park, whatever, MGM Park, whatever.
Like in the pool in the back? Yeah. Like in the
I don't think so. No, pool, I think at the no, pool. I think they're at the in whatever their theater is or whatever.
I went to a Five Finger Death Punch concert back there. It was really fun.
A little different rate type pool? Of band. Yeah, little different level. A little bit different level really bands. Five Finger out. Death Punch and Aerosmith. Aerosmith being.
But there's a stage. I mean,
depending on who you are,
you could slow mosh in the way.
I think depending on if you're a human or not a human.
Listen, you could.
But I'm still looking forward to see because I feel like they can't be performing touring that many more tours. And I've never seen them live, so I was like, "Fucking,
you gotta,
see that."
And
Friday night, I'll be headlining at the Foundation Room at the Mandalay Bay and the Dirty at 12:30 at the South Point. And then Saturday night, I'll be doing the midnight show with Carl LaBeouf at the Laugh Factory.
Mm.
Nice. Saturday at midnight. So that's what I'll be doing there. And then recovering Sunday and coming back Monday.
And Vince, what do you got coming up, Vince?
I am training my ass off. I'm looking to start a new channel here, like with my technique videos, like I was saying, and I'm looking for a fight. I actually talked to my manager just now, and there's a card here in LA coming up pretty soon in August, so I might try to get on that card.
Done.
Yeah.
Yes. Fuck what? Yes.
August something.
Oh, nice.
It's usually like first week.
I think it's the first week of August sometime.
Like August.
Tyler, what do you got coming up?
That'd be cool.
Teaching jujitsu Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Teachy.
Braxton's Combat Sports in Venice, California. Come by.
Oh.
That's about it. No real plans for anything. Yeah, just teaching, working, hanging out.
Now, is there a first class free or any?
First class free. And then if you want to do a private with me, the first private is free too. So
how much are those? How much are privates normally? Exactly.
Tyler's
and is that,
with,
is that full release or
it is a full release. It is a full release. choking mandatory.
Oh, sh.
And it's 80.
80.
For an
hour. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, 80 for typical. An hour. Yeah, that's typical rate.
Is that about right?
In LA, yeah.
Yeah.
For a brown belt, too. Like, black belts are anywhere between 120 and 150, unless you're like one of the big, big guys.
Then those guys charge a lot.
Fucking. Ridiculous. Yeah. $400, $500.
Yeah, some motherfucker charged more than a month.
And getting it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got six some privates studio, today.
Yeah, some studio jerk off is like, oh, I got him coming over to teach me jujitsu.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah. Oh, my jujitsu.
Russell Peters takes like Higa Machado with him on the road.
There you go.
That's oh my God!
Yeah. Sometimes you just have more money than sometimes you got more money than you know what to do with. You know,
that's awesome. Good for him.
Or he's on. He like just a had salary, another baby. Dude.
Yeah, he probably just pays him like
that
a flat
would be
rate.
The shit.
What?
Just like travel beyond salary as
probably
somebody's
like a bodyguard
private
as well.
Like all you got to do is do an hour a day with him, 2 hours a day.
Well, listen,
hell yeah!
Listen, people, I will be at the Black Box Theater in Boca Raton, Florida, this Friday and Saturday. Sunday night, I'm at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. April 27th, I'm in Chehalis, Washington at the Riverside Golf Club. May 2nd, I'm at Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova. I am May 16th at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. May 17th and 18th at the Westside Comedy Club in New York City. May 23rd through 26th, Ventura Harbor Comedy Club in Ventura Harbor. I'm at Laughlin at the Avi Resort and Casino June 7th. The Comedy Cave in Calgary, June 11th to the 16th. And the Minnesota House of Comedy, June 19th to the 23rd, and it's a Stratosphere in Las Vegas, July 1st to the 7th. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. Take care and have a great week.
Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Та дэс тоотан дөрвөл амор.